clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. The Lord, again, is giving counsel concerning many different things, and nothing could be more timely than what we're going to look at this morning. Or really, nothing could be more eternal, because false prophets have been around from the very beginning. And so this morning we're looking at counsel about prophets. Prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. Not prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S. All right, there's two different ways in English to spell prophet. And sometimes they overlap each other. Especially when it comes to the false prophets. They are profiting. Not prophesying, but profiting. And the Lord gives a warning here concerning false prophets in verse number 15. So, this morning, counsel concerning prophets. Prophets in the Old Testament had a great influence over the people. A good prophet could give them the word of God and draw them closer to God. A bad prophet would lead people astray quicker than anyone else could. Because he appeared on the outside to be good. He appeared outwardly to be of God. You know, when Ahab wanted to know who it was that prophesied something about him, he said, "What did he look like?" And they described him. He said, "It's Elijah the prophet." John the Baptist was recognized by his appearance. And there are verses back in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament that tell us that the false prophets would dress like the prophets of God to look outwardly like the other prophets did. So the great lesson in that is simply this: don't judge by appearance. The Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Now, a lot of folks want to use that verse as an excuse to have a bad outward appearance. Well, the Lord's not looking at my outside, He's looking on my inside. Yes, but man is looking at the outside. Man does look at the outward appearance. Before we know your heart, we know your outward appearance. Before we hear a word you say, we see how you look. And so there is some importance to be put on the outward appearance. And the false prophets knew that, so they dressed as the prophets of God. In the Old Testament, the prophets dressed differently from all the other men. Elijah, John the Baptist, did not dress like the priests in the temple did. And they were recognized by that. So the false prophets would dress like the prophets of God, imitate their outward appearance, so that people couldn't spot them. And if somebody was not discerning, if somebody was not judgmental, they could easily be taken in by the false prophets. So the Lord is warning here about these false prophets. Now, there are no prophets today. And again, we're saying P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, because there are prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, but there's no prophets, all right? There are no prophets today. The last of the prophets was John the Baptist. The law and the prophets were until John. All right, so now they've gone by, but we have false teachers that have taken the place of false prophets. Now there's still some, believe it or not, false prophets out there, because there's some claiming to be prophets that are not prophets at all. You remember the Lord told the church at Ephesus, we saw in our study of Revelation, that they tried them which said they were apostles and found them to be liars. All right, we are to judge them. We are to make a discerning judgment on those that are falsely proclaiming what they proclaim. So we have false teachers in our day to day. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be looking at these false teachers and what they're proclaiming. This kind of ties into the lesson we had last week. Remember, broad is the way, narrow is the way. Broad is the gate, straight is the gate. There's only two ways. You know one way you can tell a false prophet? They are not emphasizing two ways. They're telling everybody, oh, we're all the children of God. We're all okay. We're all going to make it okay. You know, God loves you as you are and wants you to stay as you are. Doesn't expect any changes. And that's a sign of a false prophet. They won't preach about hell. They won't preach about sin. They won't preach about judgment. All right. They're not going to delineate the two different ways and tell you that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They're going to merge these paths together. So the Lord is connecting these two. When he talks about the two paths, he goes immediately into the teaching of the false prophets. They prophesy Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. And again, there's a lot in the book of Jeremiah about these false prophets because Jeremiah had to face up against them. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, remember Jeremiah's prophecy was to the children of Israel, the king of Babylon is going to come. You need to surrender to him. You need to not resist him, but give in to him. He'll take you into that country, but then God will lead you back into this country if you surrender and if you obey the word of God. Where the false prophets were telling the kings of Israel, fight against them. Do everything you can to resist them. And so Jeremiah knew what it was like to go up against false prophets. Notice what he says in chapter 5 and verse 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Now, wonderful doesn't in our modern vernacular means good, but it just means full of wonder. Like your jaw drops open, you just can't believe this. That's what the word means. Full of wonder and horrible thing. So it's not a good thing. It's a bad. It's a jaw dropping terrible thing. What is it? Verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah said, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the people enjoy it. And the people like it. So the Lord in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15 is telling us, beware of these false prophets. Notice number one in our outline this morning, the denouncing of false prophets. Denouncing, D-E. N-O-U-N-C-I-N-G, denouncing, the denouncing of false prophets. The Lord said this, beware of false prophets. You know, the word beware is a pretty strong word. You know, beware means to watch out. But you know where you see the sign beware in our modern day? Beware of overhead electrical lines. All right, that's a common one for us to see. And you know what? You better beware. That's not just, you know, something, well, maybe I should steer clear of that. No, you better beware. Overhead electrical lines, you get tangled in those and you won't have to worry about the next beware sign. Or something we face when we're going door to door on visitation, beware of dog. Now, I don't need to be told twice when I see a sign like that. I'll just skip that house. I'll go on to the next one. I'll stick some track in the fence or something like that, but I'm not going to mess with that. Beware is a warning, not just of some slight discomfort, but beware is something that is dangerous. And that's exactly the word the Lord chose to talk about false prophets. See, folks today say, well, it's not that big a deal. Oh, don't get so worked up about it. No, false doctrine is damnable. And we are supposed to beware of false prophets. And so that's what the Lord said. It indicates danger. In Acts chapter 20, you need not turn there, but I'll read it and you can jot it down. Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. The Apostle Paul knew about these false prophets. He knew how quickly they would show up and react. And he said in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 29, he said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves..." All right, that's what we're reading about in Matthew 7. "Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." This thing of false teachers or false prophets is not new to the 21st century. They didn't just start popping up when television evangelists started showing up. They've been around all along. Before there was television, they were on the radio. Before there was radio, they were in the churches. They've always been around from Old Testament times to new. And the Lord is telling us we need to beware of them. Notice small letter A. Their creed. All right, their creed. Their creed, C-R-E-E-D. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 says this. There will be false teachers who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. All right, again, when the Lord said beware, it's not because they were watering down the truth. The Bible says they will bring in damnable heresies. The way, what they teach and the way they teach, their creed is damnable. We can go all the way back to some of those damnable heresies like purgatory. Telling people there's a third option when the Lord just got done saying there's only two. We could talk about damnable heresies like prayers to Mary. Because that's a damnable doctrine. Mary can't do anything for anybody. She was a precious woman when she's alive, but when she died, she was just like all the rest of us, a sinner in need of grace. And yet there's been a doctrine promoted that worshiping Mary and exalting Mary and praying to Mary can shorten our days in purgatory. Those are damnable heresies. Now again, folks get nervous when you start saying things like that, because, oh, you're talking about somebody's religion. No, we're talking about damnable heresies. And that's what the Lord said, beware of them. Not give them space, not sidestep them and avoid them, but point them out as damnable heresies. And when preachers won't do that, we're guilty of being false teachers and false prophets. The teaching of the second coming is vital. And when we do not preach the second coming, we're not preaching the right doctrines. They're damnable heresies. Some have taught that there is no second coming, that the Lord is not coming back to receive the church to himself. And there's some that even have claimed to be that Christ, to be the Messiah, when they were here on earth. And so there's all kinds of false teachers with all kinds of damnable heresies teaching everything they want to. Again, one of the biggest signs of damnable heresies is when they don't preach on damnation. Don't preach on judgment. Don't preach on hell, fire, and brimstone. You know, they used to say you could tell a preacher because he preached on hell, fire, and brimstone. Not too many of them preach it on it anymore. That's kind of fallen by the wayside because it's not socially acceptable. The wages of sin is death. That's things people don't want to hear anymore. So as one infamous preacher has said, I don't mention sin. I don't talk about hell. Well, that's false doctrine. Because those are the things the Bible teaches on. So their creed, they're easy to spot them by their creed. I'm going to preach this morning. The morning message is going to be on the cross. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You know, one thing I've noticed in a lot of these preachers, you turn on TV, you don't hear about the cross. You hear about all the things of philosophy from the 70s, how to deal with situations, how to cope with things, how to handle other people, how to make the best of things. The philosophy of the 70s has become the teaching of the pulpit in our generation right now. And most of the preaching is on man-to-man relationships and how to get along in this world and not thinking about judgment, not thinking about sin, not thinking about hell, not thinking about our responsibility before a holy God. And that's the creed of the false prophet. Notice secondly, small letter B, their calling. Their calling. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 says this, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, John wrote that 2,000 years ago. And he said the number of false prophets that are out there are abundant. 2,000 years ago. I don't think we've lessened that today. I don't think there are fewer of them today. I think if anything, as we get closer to the end times, the devil has concentrated his effort on getting a false message out there. So there are probably more false teachers now than there's ever been before. But again, they're not going to appear that way. We'll talk about that more in a minute. They're calling. Many false prophets are going out into the world. We need, like the church at Ephesus, as we mentioned, to try them and find them to be liars. Try them by the word of God. Try the spirits, the Bible says in 1 John, the verse we read. Try the spirits, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Christians are to be discerning. What we have found in our church of our day is that we have been taught not to be judgmental. And what that means is don't be discerning. Doctrine, again, doctrine divides, so you're not supposed to worry about doctrines. You're not supposed to worry about Bible translations. You're not supposed to worry about separation from the world. Don't worry. That's the philosophy of our day, and it's spread by false teachers, taking away the important and vital truths of the church and of the Word of God and trying to replace them. That's their calling, to water everything down, to put the emphasis somewhere else. That's why faith healers are so abundant right now. They're not preaching the cross. They're not preaching about sin and hell and judgment. They're preaching themselves and their ability, so-called, to do these things. Even the modern tongues movement is putting all the emphasis on the person. Look at me. Look what I do. Look what I can do. And you get into the churches and they start doing these things. And everybody puts the attention on them. They're not preaching the cross. They're not preaching death, hell, and judgment. This is their calling, is to promote a false gospel, a social gospel, a prosperity gospel. You can call it by any different name you want to. There's a bunch of them out there. And all of those are imitations of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So their creed, their calling, and then letter C, their conduct. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Their conduct. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5 says this about these false teachers. They are men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. See, you can measure them by their outward appearance. Isn't that what it just said? Supposing that gain is godliness. How many times do we hear, or how many times have we heard about how much Joyce Meyer's bathroom cost? Now, maybe you don't read that stuff or see that stuff, but you know how much the commode cost and how much this, and they're just ridiculous amounts. About Joel Osteen and his private jet. About Stephen Furtick and his 1.5 million house in Charlotte, North Carolina. All these different preachers, you can look at the outward appearance. Listen, here, somebody showed this when Billy Graham died, and I thought it was a great comparison. They showed Billy Graham's house, and I think it was in North Carolina also. But they showed a picture of Billy Graham's house, and it is a nice but modest home. A nice little two-story, flat front, kind of old-fashioned kind of house with a nice little yard around it. Maybe $200,000, $250,000, depending on where it's setting. I mean, here was the most popular preacher of the decades. But he lived in a nice but modest home. Then next to it, they showed Joel Osteen's house, and you can fill in the blank with any of these modern TV preachers. And they showed that house, which is worth millions of dollars, and all the different buildings and the swimming pools and the garages and all that kind of stuff. And here's where we are. We judge by the outward appearance. Man looketh on the outward appearance. And the Lord told us to do that. If they're preaching that gain is godliness, then something's wrong. You need to watch out for the message. When you know that they're living lavishly like that, you know, the world is attacking the CEOs of companies for living above everybody else's means. How much more so a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, it's not, you know, Billy Graham's modest, nice home is fine. When Jerry Falwell was alive, I wasn't a big Jerry Falwell fan, but you got to give him credit in all the years in the kingdom, if we could say, that he built down there at Liberty and everything. He lived modestly the whole time. There's a difference between those today that are preaching the gospel and socking it all away and laying up treasures on earth. And even if they have big followings and big churches, there's a lot more things to be done with that money than put it into that mansion, to put it into those Bentleys, to put it into the private jets and all these things. And the Bible says that their conduct is they're men of corrupt minds. They're greedy. They're covetous. Men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gainless godliness, from such draw away. Let me read again a couple of verses. One in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 14. Jeremiah says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. This is talking about the false prophets. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. When the Lord looks at false prophets, those that are in a position of religious leadership, but are charlatans, are wolves in sheep's clothing. The Lord talks about them. He said, they're unto me like those in Sodom and like those into Gomorrah. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean. A lot of these false prophets in our contemporary era are putting no difference between the secular and the sacred. No difference between the holy and the profane. They're not dressing like prophets to look like prophets. They're dressing like the people that are sitting out there listening to them. These young men, and sometimes not so young, Brian Houston and others, trying to dress cool. Trying to dress like the modern generations, the jeans with the holes in the knees and the t-shirts, while they're preaching from a platform or from a pulpit. And that's what the Lord's talking about. They're putting no difference between the sacred and the secular. No difference between the holy and the unholy. And the Lord says, beware of them, because this is their conduct. Immorality marks them. Greed and covetousness are their co-conspirators. The prosperity is what they're after and what their goal is. So that's the denouncing of the false prophets. Then number two, the disguise of false prophets. The disguise. The Lord Jesus said, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The average Christian, folks, lacks discernment. The average Christian is just so gullible, it's unbelievable. And they'll take anything. You go into the Christian bookstores and look at the books in there, and if it's written by somebody that just claims to be anything close to Christian, they snatch them up and buy them. And they're getting worldly philosophies under the guise of Christianity. Again, no difference between the sacred and the secular. That's why the Bible tells us to try the spirits, because they're going to come in a disguise. It's like the devil. He's not going to come in a red suit with horns and a tail, because we'd spot him. So he appears how? As an angel of light. And the Bible says, and no marvel, his ministers appear like he does, as angels of light. So let's talk about small letter A, their appearance. Their appearance, they come in sheep's clothing. They're dressed in such a way to look acceptable, to look like the common man, to look like everything is okay. But just like Satan's ministers, you can't fool those that are discerning. Those that listen. See, so many times we judge by what we see with our eyes and not what we hear with our ears. You've got to listen to what they're saying. And if you listen and pay attention, you'll say, wait a minute, there's something not right here. Regardless of how holy or good they look on the outside, something is not right. Their appearance is wrong. Small letter B, not only their appearance, but their appetite. Their appetite. They are ravening wolves. They're not out for your best interest. They're out for their best interest. For notoriety. For publicity. For prosperity. And again, you can judge them by their fruits. You can judge whether a man is in it for his prosperity and building his own kingdom, as we say. The Lord Jesus called them ravening wolves. It's an appearance that if we could see the truth of it, it would scare us. But they put on a mask. They put on a description. Their goal is not to feed the sheep, but to eat the sheep. You know what the Lord said to Peter? He said, Peter, feed my lambs. The minister's job is to feed, not to eat. You know what the Lord said to those false prophets, those Pharisees in Matthew 23? You devour widows' houses. What was their goal? To make everything they could. You remember the PTL club from back in the 70s, and I don't know if they made it into the 80s, but Jimmy Baker and the PTL, we always called that Pocket the Loot. Because that's what he was always after. He built a Christian amusement park down in North Carolina. Now, of course, you know, he misused most of the money he handled. He was sentenced to time in jail and in prison for it. And that's just being hewn down. We'll get to that in just a minute. Being cut down. Because they were devouring widows' houses. All these guys you see that are trying to get people to send money into them, they're devouring widows' houses. They're trying to get the best out of gullible people. And again, it's sad to say, there are so many of them there. The true minister, the Bible says, he is not to be greedy of filthy lucre. Alright? His motivation is not for money. His desire is not to build the houses, to have the fancy bathrooms, to fly the jets, but it's to preach the gospel. So the disguise of the false prophets. Then number three, quickly, the discerning of false prophets. The discerning. Ye shall know them by their fruits. We are to learn how to identify false prophets. How do we do that? Well, small letter A, we're to know them. To know them. That's what it says here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. Ye shall know them. That's a command. And down in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Do you know who the false prophets are? Do you know who they are today that are fleecing the people? That are not in it to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. No death, hell, sin, and judgment. But always teaching motivational things that encourage and uplift. And never preaching truth. Do you know them? The Bible tells us we are to examine them. We're to try them. We're to inspect the fruit. You don't judge a tree by its bark. You don't judge a tree by its buds, its flowers. You judge it by its fruit. The fruit that it bears. In these verses we're looking at, it says, does it bring forth grapes of thorns? Or figs of thistles? Look for the fruit. So we are to know them. We don't judge a tree by its charisma. And too many times that's what makes the false preachers popular. Their charisma. Know them, small letter B. Are you ready? Name them. Name them. Here we read in the writings of Paul in the verses listed, he named Hymenaeus, Alexander, Philetus. In another sense, he mentioned Demas. John talks about Diotrephes. When they wanted to warn the people about men that were false teachers and false preachers, they named their names. So you need to understand today, that makes some Christians uncomfortable when they name. Now, we don't make it a hobby horse. It's not our goal to talk about false preachers and name them all the time. But at the same time, the flock needs to be warned about who to avoid. I am, and I'm not looking at anybody here, but I am so disappointed when I walk into a house of a church member and I see a book on the coffee table by Joel Osteen or by Joyce Meyer. And I won't just stay on the J's. We've talked about that before. Seem to be a lot of those. But we need to learn that there's some folks we need to avoid that are out there. Because their teachings, you know, I have listened to some of these fellows. Joseph Prince, there's another one of the J guys. And he gets up there with that little shaggy haircut from the 70s. The trends are just coming back all over again. All right, got the little shaggy haircut. and he's the thin guy with the accent, and he gets up there and he talks about stories from the Old Testament and this and that, and his ability to communicate is good. And so they kind of draw you in with that ability to communicate. And at the same time, while you're doing that, you're kind of like that proverbial frog in the water. You know, that gets in the water when it's cool and they heat it up, and the longer it's in, it eventually boils to death. You get to the charismatic side of the speaker and listen to what they're saying, and every once in a while something, well, that just doesn't sound right, doesn't sound biblical. That's not what I've heard in church. But after a while, you start discarding that and taking everything that's there. And now you've got folks, and I saw it this morning on Facebook, somebody recommending somebody that no fundamental Bible believing King James Baptist should ever be listening to, but somebody recommended because they said something that was good. One thing that was good. And so they put them on Facebook and get all these people to follow that guy, and the rest of the stuff is not worth listening to. We've got to name them so that people are warned and know who they are. Some Christians get squeamish when you start naming people. But people need to be warned. The flock needs to be warned. And then lastly, number four, quickly, the doom of false prophets. The doom, D-O-O-M. Jesus said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. All false prophets will experience judgment. The thing they won't preach about, they're going to face. They're going to stand before God and give an account of themselves. They want to bask in the limelight of worldly fame and worldly fortune, not considering eternity, not understanding this is not the highlight, this is not the high point. They're going to give an account. Small letter A, they will experience hewing, H-E-W-I-N-G, and that's the word that's in the verse. They are hewn down. What does hewn down mean? It means they're cut down. They're going to be cut down. Some of them in life, we mentioned Jim Baker, what he did was exposed. Jimmy Swaggart, an immoral lifestyle was eventually exposed. Sometimes these false prophets will be hewn down in life, but all of them will be hewn down in death. And then the true colors will be shown. Their prestige will be gone then. Their popularity won't matter to the Lord. Their praise of men, God doesn't care about. The things that they were interested in down here, the Lord's just going to cut it all off. And then letter B, they will experience hell. The Bible says that every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now the illustration is given of a tree. But it's likened to a false prophet that's not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, not preaching sin, hell, death, and judgment, not preaching the cross, but preaching things that benefit themselves, that tickle the ears of their hearer, that entertain the masses and grow a large church many times. And again, that doesn't mean a large church has a false prophet, because God is at work as much as the devil is, if not more. But many of them are because of this false prophecy. So the Lord gives us counsel, warning concerning prophets. If there's any lesson that the Lord's given that we ought to heed, it's that one right there. Because it applies so much to the day in which we live. All of this stuff does. All this stuff is very practical. So we need to take the Lord's counsel. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings it gives. Lord, I pray you'd help us to heed those warnings. Bless our morning service. Those that come to join us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.